You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. I'm Graeme Young and today I'm joined by Chris Doyle to discuss all the latest from Celtic Park. On the pod today, Celtic set the record straight against Cluj with an emphatic home victory. Mohamed El Younoussi proves his worth with a stellar Euro display. Bolly Bolingolli, how he's so much more than just a cult hero. And we preview the big Premiership clash against Livingston at the weekend. Chris, how are we?
Good, yeah. It was a good game last night for both sides, Celtic and Rangers, but yeah, for Celtic it was a great win. There was all that talk about revenge, like you were saying, but I think revenge is a kind of harsh word. I think they just wanted to put things right from the Champions League exit, obviously, and they were just it was a really convincing victory, even though the scoreline suggests 2-0, but it really could have been a lot more, I thought.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was a big night for Celtic, for Neil Lennon. He was very insistent in the build-up. Revenge wasn't on his mind, but Celtic played the game at a real tempo. I think that was the one thing he spoke about, his disappointment for the Champions League qualifier that ended badly, that they were so pedestrian in the first half. But last night Celtic were right on it from the first whistle.
Well, yeah, the game against the first game back in Parkhead, there was nothing wrong in terms of, like, they scored 3 goals, so it was obviously like maybe what they did defensively, but that all came in the second half. So yeah, they definitely came out of the blocks really fast last night, and you could see that was obviously kind of Lennon's message. And Edward obviously kind of got the first goal, I think it was around the 20-minute mark, but it was coming, and they were creating chances kind of right from the off, and yeah, just like pressing Cluj, getting the ball back, and just throwing a lot of bodies forward with Bolingolli, you were talking about, who had a good game, and El Younoussi probably as well had his best game in the Celtic shirt so far.
And that's interesting you bring up El Younoussi. He's a player who appears at a big price tag when he was brought to Southampton, 16 million he cost for Basel, but Celtic know all about him. Previously he'd played for Molde and caused Ronnie Dyer's team all sorts of problems. But he's been brought in a loan spell, and it's been the European stage, I think, is where he'll really thrive. He's pretty impressive away to the end. But last night, I think what many Celtic fans are noting is there's plenty of skill there, but there's a lot of hard work, isn't there? This is a guy who's really going to put a shift in for Celtic, isn't it?
Yeah, there's obviously something about him, as you say, went for that money. Obviously, he's just kind of had a bad time of it. So really, like, Celtic could be getting their hands on a player that's almost like too good to be there, in a sense. Obviously got him in a loan spell and with the price tag that comes with it, but obviously there's a lot of competition for places in the left wing with Mikey Johnston. I mean, Scott Sinclair's a bit further down the pecking order, but it seems like El Younoussi is he kind of, you'd say maybe with Johnston
like
out, he's kind of
like
cemented spot.
What do you like about his style?
I think he's just kind of like a cultured player. Like, he doesn't necessarily have sort of like that standout feature for a winger, if be that pace or kind of a bit of trickery. He just seems to be got a good footballing IQ in terms of just like, you can see before he got that ball played back to him, the ball he played forward to Foddest, the kind of obviously won the ball back as well, so it actually showed good kind of the defensive side of this game. Won the ball back, they were breaking, and he just played such a great ball for to Foddest to run onto. Do you know, it wasn't right at his feet, he just gave him a perfectly weighted ball, and then that meant Foddest was off, and then at that point they had numbers, and he just waited kind of, you know, he didn't kind of rush into the box. He kind of knew that Forrest would, the ball would almost make his way to him, and then Forrest cut back in. Then El Younoussi, he was loads of space in the box, just the edge of the box. And he obviously had a lot of luck in terms of, like, took a deflection before he went into the kind of the bottom corner. But I mean, he deserved his goal because it was really him that started the move in the first place. So yeah, just I think there's a lot of things to like about him. As you say, he had those big nights with Basel in the European stage, and it seems like that's where he's came to life. You know, you said he had a good showing against Rennes and then last night as well. So yeah, I think it's looking good in terms of, like, maybe cementing that kind of that place in the side, because there's a lot of talk about Incham. You know, he was preferred last weekend against Hibs, but obviously they only drew 1-8. So,
and that's very interesting, yeah, because that changes where Ryan Christie plays in the team.
Oh yeah, for
if
sure.
If Incham's in the team, Ryan Christie becomes part of the front three. If Incham drops out, Christie goes to his number 10 playmaker position, which I think's a role he prefers. But there was a real Vervin swagger, wasn't there, about Celtic last night? The atmosphere at the, I think for Celtic in Europa League, it's not, no one's ever got to convince you it's a Champions League, but these Europa League nights have their place, and Celtic fans at the end of the day enjoy their team being competitive, and this is a competitive group they're involved in. I think for Celtic last night, the disco lights were on, it was a big atmosphere, there was revenge was in the mind, especially in the stands, and that was noted for the first whistle, really.
Yeah.
Another player who I think was excellent, and he's more than just a Twitter hero with Celtic fans changing their Twitter handles to serenade their left back, Bolly Ball and Golly. He started okay, had a couple of decent games, then he really struggled in the opening couple of months of the season, but now he's really looking strong, powerful. He looks like a changed player, doesn't he, Chris?
Yeah, really just looks a different player. Seems like it's just confidence, and it shows how big a thing that is in football and just and players in general. You know, he was just didn't have that at the start of the season, and he had made a few mistakes, and then all of a sudden he looked kind of a bit kind of rattled by that in those games, but then it seems like that's completely gone, and he's just like completely expressing himself in terms of like bombing forward. You know his defensive side of the game maybe isn't as the best side, but you know, he's doing a solid, putting in a solid shift, and his work rate is brilliant, and just seems like he'll run for days.
I think that's a good way, and he had that shot last night as well. That's a player with confidence, just after it had gone one, Celtic were 1-0 up, and he was able to take the ball, and he had a shot with outside his left foot, and that wouldn't have happened a couple of weeks ago. This is someone who's really thriving in the atmosphere, and he was, I think Neil Lennon spoke in the summer, especially just when he was bedding him into the team, about how it might take a bit of time, and obviously in the first game against Cluj he was left on the bench, Cal McGregor played left back, but and last night he proved that he was a man that it would always be difficult to fill Kieran Tierney's shoes, but he proved last night he's certainly capable of operating at this level.
Yeah, well, I think you say like you can tell when a player's like full of confidence, and with Ballingall he certainly is, because he was instead of, you know, maybe cutting back, you know, playing the ball backwards, he's always thinking about his moving forward, and you've seen that with the goal. You know, he made that run in behind him, what a pass it was from McGregor to find him, but do you know what, like he's kind of now he's making those runs in behind, you know, overlapping, and then as you rightly said, that shot with like outside of left foot, it was almost just instinctive, because like, I think Edward kind of broke into the box, it kind of just fell to him, and then he just took it first time, and he honestly so unlucky not to actually go in, it was just over. So just a different player. I don't think he's Tierney's shoes is your boots is doubt he's gonna maybe fill those, but he's certainly putting in a good shift, and he's keeping Greg Taylor out of the team as well, because a lot of people thought maybe when Greg Taylor comes in, Taylor would be used for these European games, because he's more defensive minded, but Lennon's stuck with the man he signed first,
and that's a good point. Obviously his cross to the goal was sumptuous. It was absolutely perfect for Edward, and that again, he's been threatening. He's as much as he's a different style of player to Kieran Tierney. He's got a lot of similar characteristics. He likes these instant balls into the box, these low crosses, and they can cause panic in defensive line. Even the second half, in particular, he was basically playing as an auxiliary left wing, and he was so far up the pitch, especially in the last half hour. It was impressive for Ballingall, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That ball for Edouard, you know, that was the only way that Edouard was going to get on to the end of it. You know, he had to kind of, you know, it was almost like he just dinked it, loft it, just to evade the defender's kind of head. And then it was just, Edouard couldn't miss, you know what I mean? It was put on a plate for them. But, you know, so often you would maybe see them when that ball's kind of going out for to the byline, you just kind of like someone just kind of lashing it across and then again cleared. But no, I think like it was well kind of fought out in terms of like he was like, this is obviously how Edouard's going to get on the end of this, and it was just like a brilliant piece of quality. And as you say, in the second half as well, he was just kind of rampaging forward, and Celtic obviously had a lot of the ball, but he seems like that. I think that's why he was brought to the club, when Celtic have that, they're on top of games, if it be at home or in the league, you know, they have all that possession, then you know he can kind of push forward, and it really just gives like sort of Celtic that kind of another dimension, in a sense of just being like kind of that constant threat down the left hand side, which with having him so far forward, which is can only be a good thing.
There's always got to be comparisons about Neil Lennon style, Brendan Rodgers style. Now, Brendan Rodgers spoke at length about being able to impose himself on the European stage, being able to go toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the continent. It never quite materialised for Rodgers during his spell. Sometimes Celtic were outgunned. The teams with a better technical ability were able to pass him off the park and ultimately win, especially Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, Barcelona. There's some heavy defeats. But Neil Lennon's got a knack of mixing this kind of what you'd almost call educated pressure, where Celtic are still attacking, they're getting bodies forward, but there's a physicality about their style of play. As much as Rodgers has obviously got his qualities, he's thriving with Leicester this season. Is Lennon more suited to success for Celtic in the continent, do you think?
I think, yes, he is, but I think you're right. Looking back to those kind of that Rodgers spell, you know, they were in the Champions League for a couple of those years, and yeah, the first two anyway, and the some of the opponents they got drawn against were very difficult, so it was
Lennon,
made it a hard challenge. But I think as much as Lennon, as you say, in the Europa League, it's early stages yet for Lennon, for that there's obviously the kind of less competition. But when you actually look back to Lennon's, like, this is when you kind of look back to his first spell with the club, he actually has got kind of that proven track record of maybe like putting up a good good fist of it in you, that, you know, because he had some of those good runs with him the first time. I know that's a long time ago, but it seems like that's kind of continued.
Last 16 Champions League, yeah, so 10 points in the group stage. It's very impressive. Do you think, putting you in spot here a bit, do you think Celtic would have suffered such heavy defeats if Lennon was in charge in those Champions League games away to Paris Saint-Germain, home to Paris Saint-Germain as well, and of course Barcelona away, 7-7 and 5?
Probably not. He's as much as you say how good Rodgers was, and with like kind of his philosophy with passing the ball and kind of attacking, he just seemed to kind of lack that kind of tactical approach in Europe, in terms of like maybe to shut up shop, or just kind of that it could be damage limitation. At the end of the day, you don't want to get beat 7-0 on Europe, but just like you see what happened to Spurs the other night, do you know what I mean? It's embarrassing. You do want to put up a good, you know, just be in the game for as long as possible. And a lot of those games, Celtic were just out of it instantly, and they were good teams. But I can see what you say. I do think Lennon would, the way he sets his teams up, like if they need to go away and get a result like they did against Rennes, he will set his team up accordingly and put them in a good position to at least be able to achieve that. I mean, it's not going to work out every time, but especially against those difficult teams like the Rodgers teams faced. But I do think you have a point there. I think that he's sort of maybe just his tactical approach, more pragmatic style of management.
And now we turn to the main man, Odson Edward, who specialises in making the difference in these big games, big nights for Celtic. Last night was no different. He obviously got his goal, but it's his hold-up play. I think the first night this really came to prominence was Leipzig last season in the group stage. He's got so many qualities, running at defenders, timing of his runs, he's ice cool finishing. But now he's got a real edge about him, physicality. He's got the bandage wrap in the wrist. It shows that he's happy to get in the wars. And last night he caused Cluj all sorts of problems. That side of his game, what did you think of it? Were you impressed with his physicality, his ruggedness, Chris?
Yeah, his hold-up play was exceptional. It just seems like the ball's kind of glued to his feet, so he can take in, just like turn the defender and just kind of go at them and just cause like all sorts of problems, to be honest. Even though he scored one goal, like, he was really just the heart of everything for Celtic in terms of them going forward and being kind of a threat. So he could have got a few more, but really everything good that Celtic were producing, I think, kind of just ended up going through Edward, which can only be a good thing. But you're right, he seems to come alive with these kind of, you know, if it's against Rangers scoring the goals, or if it's in Europe, he seems to just seem to rise to the occasion. Maybe, I don't know, like, I think he can still do it in the league and stuff, but it seems like, I mean, I don't think Celtic fans will be complaining that he's doing it against in the big games, you know, Scottish Cup final. But yeah, he's really 9 goals this season, I think, so far, and he's just a brilliant
more to
player.
Come
yeah,
well.
It does seem like he has that other level to take, just in terms of if that's maybe just going on a ridiculous run, if it's like, you know, just a couple hat tricks like on the spin or something. I could see that happening, or if it's just maybe, you know, if his hat's reaching 30 goals this season. But certainly the potential's there. I think there is more to come, because this is not just his. He seems like he's just, in terms of a striker, like he's got kind of everything you would want in terms of, like, you're right, his hold up play, his physicality, his speed. He seems like he's obviously gonna act to find the net as well. So yeah, just another brilliant performance from him.
So now we turn to, as well, the group itself. So Lazio were victorious last night That was a comfy behind one against Rennes. And the Italians are priming themselves for a double header against Celtic. That's got a real glamour about it. And obviously, Europa League, there's plenty of big hitters involved in the tournament, as we can see this year. Like Arsenal, Manchester United are involved as well. But Lazio have got a bit of name appeal. It's not a team Celtic are overly familiar with in terms of previous European competition. So it's something fresh, it's something new. This is obviously going to decide how this group pans out, these matches between Celtic and Lazio. And Celtic, for the first time, any time they have qualified, they've always been the team who's finished second. And there's obviously that's an achievement in itself. But Celtic, there seems to be an opportunity here maybe to go on and grasp this group and maybe win it. And that would obviously change who they could potentially face in the last 32. Obviously, we're getting slightly ahead of ourselves, but we're allowed to do that because we're only talking about it. But this double header feels really pivotal, doesn't it, for Celtic against Lazio? They obviously come to Celtic Park first, and then a glamour trip to the Stadio Olimpico as well. How do you think those two games are going to go?
Yeah, I think you're right. The home game, the first game coming up, I think
that's important, isn't it?
I think it's good. I think it's good for them that they've got that first. If they win that, then all of a sudden they're in 7 points, and I just think they're in a, as you say, potentially finishing first, but I think they're in just at the halfway stage such a good position to qualify with 7 points out of 10, and they would have to really, you know, results would have to go against them in terms of, like, they wouldn't have to pick up that much many more points, but I just think that, you know, Lazio, I just don't think Celtic will fear them going into that game, because as much as Lazio are a big name, they have big players like Immobile, Savic, and so on. I just think that, you know, they lost to Cluj in the first match day, so Celtic beat Cluj there, so they must be thinking, like, they're not in that great shape. Obviously, on their day, they can be a good team, but they came behind last night against Rennes as well, so I just don't think Celtic will be going into it with, like, really with any fear. Obviously, the trip to Stadio Olimpico, that's going to be a much tougher game, but I think they'll be able to get a glimpse of them in the home game first, and then obviously kind of prepare accordingly depending on that result as well, and kind of how Lazio set up. So I think Lennon will be thinking so far ahead to the next game, but as you're right, I think as a grand kind of scheme of things, like looking at a bigger picture, the actual double header of Lazio will be huge in how if they progress from the group or where they'll finish. But I think the home leg is huge, and I think they can be confident they can get a result based on last night's performance anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And just a quick note, obviously Celtic fans were heartbroken when he left in the summer, but Kieran Tierney announced his arrival on the European stage last night. He's not a player. Celtic fans, it's still a difficult touchy subject for some Celtic fans, but I think for a player who is one of their own to go out and show their worth, I think the reviews are in, and it's nothing but 10 out of 10s for his performance. He looked exceptional. His level of play, speed, that's what was really noticeable at the start of last season. He appeared to pick up an extra yard of pace before the injury slowed him down. And last night, he looked like the best player in the park for Arsenal. Were you impressed with Tierney's display?
Yeah, I think it just makes it even more impressive that he's, like, the fact he's been out, like, not kicked the ball for 4 to 5 months, you know. That double hernia operation, then the groin injury, so it seems like he's been almost, like, you know, been playing football for a good, like, few months. You know, it doesn't seem like he's a player back from, like, essentially a long-term injury, but yeah, the fact is kind of turn of foot speed, like, in his delivery of for the first goal was for Martinelli, it was absolutely brilliant, and then just the full game, I think I seen him, like, kind of square going with a couple of the.
Well, that's when he's that would just endear himself well. to the
Arsenal fans, because it's shown, like, you know, there have been kind of, you know, Arsenal being kind of critical of not having that spine, you know, just kind
of bit of a soft touch.
Yeah, a bit. So, but I think they're going to absolutely love having him, and Celtic fans, I think that's why obviously Celtic fans were absolutely gutted he left, because he had that approach for Celtic as well.
He set the tone in big games.
He did, yeah. But going back to his performance last night, it was just, it was just brilliant, to be honest. And he seemed to be everything good going forward for Arsenal, seemed to be coming down that left hand side, and I think it's just a matter of time before obviously they want to be careful with him and his recovery. But I mean, based on his two performances, the other one against Nottingham Forest in his debut, I mean, if I was Unai Emery, I'd be thinking about putting him in, like, straight away this weekend, or at least trying to embed him into the first team, because he's shown he's good enough, and there's was Kolasinac just behind him, like. Arsenal defence
needs
help. He's not
in level, is he?
He's no, absolutely not. And I just think he offers more going forward, and sort of for a defending, and yeah, Arsenal's the back line need reinforcements
as many
badly,
good defenders as they can get.
Yeah, so exactly.
And,
so,
and the other point about Tierney's big impression in his opening couple of games for Arsenal is a good sign for Celtic and Scottish football as well. Mm-hmm. You sell a player for a lot of money, 25 million in Tierney's case, and if he proves to be a hot commodity, similar to Virgil van Dijk, Victor Wanyama, when these guys go down south, Moussa Dembele's obviously pressing it on as well for Celtic. If they're selling these players for top money and the price continues to rise and these guys are going and proving that they are as good as their price tag, that will mean in time Celtic obviously don't want to lose players, but if they are going to lose players, they want to lose them at market value or above market value. That's a positive sign, isn't it? Celtic's players who are going down, they are impressing, and if the big teams come calling again for the next batch of stars, Celtic will once again be able to get the right price. That's a big thing for a club like Celtic, isn't it?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I mean Celtic got 25 million for Tierney, but there was a lot of kind of belief that if it maybe wasn't for his injuries, they could have like held out for more. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, compared to other prices going in England, so
you're
I think
handicapped by the fact that in Scottish
it
football.
Completely is. So that, I think that's just kind of the general point I was getting to. There's, if it's Tierney going for 25 million or McGinn going for like what, 3, 4.5 or something like that, whatever. Like, Scottish football is good value for money. Like, I don't know why teams are. I mean, not that, you know, like, if you're a Celtic fan or a Rangers fan, you want your talent getting poached, like, all the time. But I don't know why other clubs aren't looking to the market, because there's a track record, as you say, of these players moving on to bigger things. And I think Tierney is just one of them, but there's so many, like, other players. But I think, like, you're just getting good value for your money compared to sort of elsewhere, especially in England. So I think it is good overall for Celtic and for Scottish football that these kind of, these players are going down and testing themselves, maybe more competitive leagues, and they're essentially thriving and they're stepping up to that challenge.
So from the glitz and glamour of Europa League, it's a back to Premiership duty the weekend, a trip to the Tony Macaroni Arena for Celtic, and they'll be playing one of the more unique teams in Scottish football, Livingston. They've got a style of play, many compare it to a team like Wimbledon for the 80s or the crazy gang style of football, where they know exactly what they're doing. It's direct, it's in your face. But Livingston have got a track record of getting results, but they've lost a couple in the spin here. Celtic know the importance of winning games. They dropped points against Hibs last week. They still have a 1-point lead over Rangers. There's a real importance about getting a victory on Sunday against Livingston, isn't there, for Celtic, Chris?
I think so. It's, there's always that chance that a game, so the game following a Europa League match, can be a potential banana skin. But I don't really see it being that case. As they say, Livingston have had a kind of poor run of late, but I think they overall have had a good start to the season, just because they lost a lot of players in the summer. But you say that kind of, that plastic pitch isn't easy to play on. You've seen Rangers like the other week in the Betfred Cup, I think they only won 1-0. So, do you know what I mean? Like, they're always just kind of, you know where you're going to get, as you say. They're going to really like set up behind the ball and make it really difficult for Celtic. So they can't just expect to turn up and get a result. They're going to have to put in a much better performance than they did against Hibs anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if Lennon, after obviously the result last night, if he sort of makes some changes to the team to bring that freshness.
What about a name for you, Vakin Bio? He's as direct as they come. He appears obviously suspended Thursday night, didn't play against Cluj, but he seems tailor made for a game. The Tony Macaroni Arena, like, big, physical, strong. Yeah. Livingston like to ruffle up other teams, and Bio can do the same for Celtic. It gives Celtic a different option, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, actually, just maybe also a good idea just to maybe holster Edward, because you don't want him picking up something there. But yeah, you're right, I don't think, but then putting in Bio would honestly be a pretty good sort of replacement, because it seems like that
he's
game.
He's rewriting the Celtic script a bit here, yeah. Isn't he, Bio, in terms of. There's maybe an impression going into the summer that the Celtic have been stung in the past with a few misfiring strikers that maybe wasn't up to scratch. But Lennon likes them. He likes having them about the team. He's got a bit of energy. He was very good against Hearts. I know both goals got getting taken off him. He was good against Partick Thistle as well. And he's big, strong, good in the air, all these things. But his link-up play was decent. There's more strings to this guy's bow, isn't there?
There definitely is. But I think his kind of aerial presence is probably his biggest strength, and you see that game against Partick Thistle where he scored his first goal.
When almost like he weeps like Henry Larsson.
Yeah, well, I think that's big, high praise. But I mean, it seems like Celtic can obviously adapt to almost like a different style of play when he when he's in the team, because they were just continually getting the ball out of the wings and just firing balls in for him, and it was working, so they just like kept going. Eventually he got his header and his goal, so it seems like, yeah, that may be well suited to the game of the weekend against Livingston, where you can be more direct against a team that was going to be difficult to play kind of in between the lines. So I could see that, you're right, I could see that happening, but I think overall, like, there is more to his game than that, in terms of he seems a good finisher, and he also has sort of he seems to be pretty good with the ball at his feet as well, so it seems definitely also a prospect for the future. But it seems like he's getting in, obviously Griffiths has been injured, but it seems like, you know, that spell he's had out, I think Bio seems to be sort of second choice anyway behind Edward is for the striking options.
That's a fair point. So just before we head off, Chris, can we get a prediction for you for the big game that weekend?
I think it'll be tight, but I would say Celtic will get the win, just based on last night's performance. There's going to be some, you know, obviously sort of good vibes from that. I think it'll be 2-0.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us today, Chris. That's all from us this week. We'll be back next week to talk all things Celtic. Don't forget to subscribe at iTunes or Acast to get the podcast as soon as it's available, and if you liked it, please review and rate us on there too. Thanks for listening.